Amen. I'm thankful, so thankful for the specials this morning, and amen. I'm so thankful that you are here today and for everybody joining us online. You know, we wish everybody could be here in person, but we're thankful for the technology that we can join together online when we can't be in person. So I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Colossians this morning. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 is our text for today. We're going to be looking at several other verses in the book of Colossians, but we've been learning about the Spirit-filled life and just learning about walking in the Spirit. And we cannot live the Christian life in our own strength. It's impossible. And so we must be born again, and then we must yield ourselves to God. We must be filled with His Word day by day if we're ever to hope to walk in the Spirit. And I hope to give you some practical advice today in how to walk in the Spirit. So if you're able, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. We're looking at Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Look at it one more time. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. My prayer today is that you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, and that by His grace, by the power of His Spirit, all of us will leave here equipped today and energized today, empowered today to walk in the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come to worship you. Lord, I pray that you would forgive me of my sins and my shortcomings, the ways that I failed to walk in the Spirit. I pray today that your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts. Lord, that anyone hearing this message, whether here or at home, if they've never been born again, that right now this morning, they would repent of their sin and unbelief. They would trust in Christ alone for their salvation. That they would just cry out to you today, Lord, and call on your name and be saved. We pray for all who are saved, that you would help us to walk in the Spirit, to follow your word, and to do the things you've called us to do. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to set aside the cares and worries of the day, and for just a little while to fix our eyes on Jesus, to open our hearts, to open our eyes, to open our ears, that we might hear and that we might obey. And please, Lord, just help us to trust and obey this morning. Help me from nothing without you, and we pray your blessings on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. I have four very simple points I want to share with you this morning, and I just want to try to get to the practicalities of this. For me, it's seemed like so much of my Christian life, the idea of walking in the Spirit has seemed to be unattainable. That walking in the Spirit is something that's kind of mystical, it's spiritual, it's out there, and it's a very hard thing to attain to. But really, when we look at the Word of God, He lays it out for us very simply. And I want to share some things with you that in my study and some messages that I heard this week were very helpful to me, and I hope to share those with you today. Of course, we've said it already, but it has to be said every time. You cannot live the Spirit-filled life. You cannot walk in the power of the Spirit unless you first have the Spirit. So the first thing today is, number one, you have to take the first step. He makes an assumption here in verse 6. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You can't walk in Christ and in his Spirit unless you first have received Christ Jesus the Lord. And so I want to invite you to look back to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3. We've got to take that first step. And these that the Apostle Paul's writing to the church of Colossae, he's writing to those who had received Christ Jesus the Lord, and he was very thankful for that. He says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. What happened? They heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. The grace of God was shown to them. That free gift was shown to them. And by faith, they received that gift. They have the hope of eternal life because they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, their faith in Jesus, verse 3 tells us, was evidenced by their love to the saints. Jesus said that his disciples would be known by their love one to another. So because they heard the gospel and they believed the gospel, there was evidence in their life of that love and that grace in their life. He says it's bringing forth fruit in you. Remember, that's what we're after here, right? That we would bear the fruit of the Spirit, that we would have that love, that joy, that peace, that gentleness, that meekness, that long-suffering, that temperance. We all desperately need those things in our life. We want those things in our life, and it only comes by walking the Spirit. But first of all, we have to put our faith in Jesus. At the youth conference yesterday at Landmark in Vian, Brother Jonathan Smith preached two great messages that were very convicting and very challenging. Just a great reminder that we've got to get back to a focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We get so distracted by all these other things. And I don't know if you've been distracted by this little thing called COVID this year or not. Been a little bit of a distraction. I don't know if you've been distracted by this election year or not, but that's been a little bit of a distraction. Listen, I didn't need all that. I had plenty of distractions of my own. I get distracted by my own fleshly desires. I get distracted by my own wants and my own carnality in my mind. We get distracted by so much stuff. And friends, all of that does is take us away from the truth that we need to be focused on, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It takes us away from the business we need to be about in propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It takes us away from what we really need to be focused on. And listen, I'm not telling you ought to bury your head in the sand and pretend like COVID doesn't exist. I'm not telling you ought to pretend like the election's not going on or that we don't have the things of this life we've got to deal with. I'm just saying that in the midst of all that, we've got to keep it in its proper place and keep the gospel in its proper place. Amen. We've got to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, every person you meet these days, we tend to identify people by whatever political slogan they may be carrying around. I don't know about you, but when I see somebody drive through town, they've got an American flag in the back of their truck, I just assume they probably voted for Trump. Amen. That's a sad statement just in itself on the condition of our nation today. But let me say this. What we ought to not be thinking is, I wonder who they voted for. We ought to be wondering, where are they going to spend eternity?
Amen.
I don't know if it's escaped your attention, but Republicans need to repent and trust Jesus or they'll not go to heaven.
Amen.
And Democrats need to repent and trust Jesus or they'll not go to heaven.
Amen.
And independents and libertarians and everyone else. Hey, how about this? Just because you go to a Baptist church doesn't mean that you're going to heaven.
Amen.
Just because your name's on a church roll somewhere doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. And let me throw you one more that you may not like, but I say a lot of things people don't like. Just because you repeated the sinner's prayer at some time in your life does not mean that you've genuinely been born again.
Amen.
Jesus says in the judgment that there are going to be many who say unto him, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And the Lord will say to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you.
Amen.
You see, our salvation is not based on our political affiliation. Our salvation is not based on our church membership. Our salvation is not based on our good works. Our salvation is based on our faith in Jesus Christ and our faith in Him alone.
Amen.
That's it. If you have Christ, you have life. If you don't have Christ, you do not have life. And if you may be wondering today, I don't know. I got to talk to some of the young people yesterday about evangelism, and we talked about some of the questions that we might ask somebody. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being 100% and 1 being not very good at all, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that you'll go to heaven when this life is over? You know, a lot of people around here are about an 8 or a 9. You know, they think they're pretty good and they think they got a pretty good shot, but they know they're not perfect, so they're not going to say a 10. I got news for you today, friends. You should have an absolute assurance of your salvation.
Amen.
And if you're not confident in your salvation today, let me help you out. The reason people aren't confident in their salvation is because they're trusting in themselves to get saved or to stay saved. Amen. You need to take the first step and let go of yourself and your righteousness and your good works, and you need to put your faith in Christ alone. Amen. And when you are trusting in Christ and Him alone, you can have that blessed assurance. You can be fully persuaded that He is able to keep that which you've committed unto Him against that day. Amen. You can know, Hebrews 7:25, that He is able to save them to the uttermost. He's able to save you completely. You can have absolute confidence in your salvation when you're trusting in Christ alone. Amen. Look down there a little further in Colossians 1. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Friends, it's all through the Bible. This fruit of the Spirit that comes from knowing His word, being filled with His word, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Friends, you do not have the strength in yourself. You have to be strengthened with His power, with His might. And when you rely completely on Him, you can have that perseverance, that endurance that comes, that cheerful endurance that comes. That's what patience is, cheerful endurance. And you can keep going on with joy in your heart. Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance in the of the saints in light. Listen, you're not meet. You're not that word meet there means that you meet the criteria. You measure up. You and I don't measure up to God's standard. Amen. The only way we're meet to be partakers of the inheritance, the only way that you and I are fit to enter into the kingdom is not based on what we do, but our faith in what Christ did for us on Calvary. Amen. He has made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints in light. Look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Let me say it as plain as I can today. If you have never personally turned away from your sin and put your faith in Christ alone, if you've not been born again, you do not have forgiveness of sins. You are in darkness. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. And if you die in your lost condition, you'll spend eternity separated from God in the lake of fire. Now that may not concern you today, but it concerns me. You may not be too worried about that today, but Jesus Christ is worried about that today. He's so concerned about it that He left heaven and He lived a sinless life and He suffered and He died on Calvary's cross so that you could be saved. And if you'll turn away from your sin today, if you'll trust in Him, He'll give you eternal life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. You can be saved today. You've got to take that first step. Number two, after you take the first step, this is pretty deep. I need you to stay with me, okay? I haven't even made it to the second point. Some of you are already gone. After you take the first step, number two, you need to take the next step. Amen. That's good. Write that down. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Colossians 2 and verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Walking has in its nature the idea of moving forward. I know, it's deep theology right here. If you're not walking, if you're not moving, then you're not walking, you're standing still. Amen. I understand there's some theology there. We need to stand firm in Christ, but here we're talking about walking. We're talking about moving forward. We're talking about growing in the grace and knowledge. We're talking about being built up. Look at it, verse 7. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Verse 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You see, there's a warning here that after you take the first step, you might have some missteps if you start listening to the world and traditions rather than the Word of God. Everybody with me right now? Hey, listen, we ought to be able to identify what are traditions and what are the truths of the Word of God. Now, some of you are traditionalists, and I would probably be identified as one of those as well. And we've got to be really careful that we don't hold on to traditions more than we hold on to truth. All right, I won't say that until I get somebody mad at me. I figure I'm not doing my job if everybody's not mad by the time we get done. Right, Brother Mike? Amen. Told me this morning in Sunday school he didn't like that lesson at all. Listen, the truth hurts, right? That's what Mama said. She wasn't lying. Listen, sometimes we get so upset about some things, and it's not truth that we're upset about. It's traditions that we're upset about. And we need to be able to defend the truth. Amen. And let traditions be traditions. We need to be not deceived by vain deceit, traditions of men, the rudiments of the world. We've got to be after Christ. Why? Verse 9 says, For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now listen to me. If you have Christ, you have life. But if you don't have Christ, you do not have life. But it goes far beyond that, friends. If you have Christ, you have everything. When we start studying the Spirit, there are some people who would teach you today that after you get saved, after you have Jesus, you need some other experience to get something else, something more, something greater of the Spirit. But I want you to understand something today. When you're saved by faith in Jesus, you have all of him, and he is everything. Amen. There's nothing. What are you going to add to Jesus Christ himself, his Spirit living in you? You can't add to that. There's nothing greater than that. In Christ is all the Godhead bodily. In him is all in all. He is everything. And if you have Christ, you are complete in him. You don't need to seek some other experience, some other thing. What you need to do is yield to him. You need to give him more of yourself. That's what being filled with the Spirit's about. Amen. Take the next step. We're getting there. Stay with me. So, we're complete in him. Verse 11 says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses, dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, when we look at the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we look at our condition before we're saved. We're dead in trespasses and sins, and he makes us alive. He gives us the next step we need to take after we're saved, and that next step is baptism. Amen. Now, I don't know what happened through the years from the time of the book of Acts, the time of the early church, and to where we are now, but I think that we've really messed up in leaving off our teaching about baptism. There are those who falsely teach that you must be baptized in order to be saved. But baptism isn't the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Baptism doesn't wash away your sins. Only the blood of Jesus can take away your sins. Amen. Everybody with me? But baptism is the answer of a good conscience toward God. When I think about this, I can't help but think about when Philip is preaching to the eunuch. You remember that? He runs up to that chariot and he's reading there from Isaiah, and the eunuch says, who is he talking about? Is he talking about himself or somebody else? And Philip gets up there and he begins at the same scripture and he preaches to him Jesus. Amen. And it was a great sermon. It was a great sermon. We don't have it recorded, but I promise you it was a great message. By the way, just one-on-one, him and the eunuch in the chariot. I'm sure the other people in the party were hearing too, but he's preaching to him, Jesus, and at the end of the message, he says, "What? There's water. Why can't I get baptized?" What in the world? I thought he was preaching to him, Jesus. Listen, after you put your faith in Jesus, the very next step is to be baptized. Well, I don't understand, preacher. If baptism doesn't save me, if I don't have to be baptized to go to heaven, then why does it matter? Because he said so.
Amen.
Man, I didn't like that answer when I was growing up. I don't know how many times the answer to the question I had for my mom was, because I'm the mother and I said so. Anybody else get that?
Amen.
And I hated that. Hated that. But it's taught me something. How about this? Because he's God, and he said so.
Amen.
That ought to settle it. We have the example of Jesus Christ, who was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. We have his example. We have the command of Scripture. We have the command that those who believe are to be baptized. We have the example throughout Scripture that those who received him, those who believed, were immediately baptized. Listen, so what does he say to the eunuch? The eunuch says, there's water. Why can't I get baptized? And he says, if you believe, you can. And he says, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. And so they go down into the water and he's baptized. I want to tell you this morning, the first thing you need to do is put your faith in Jesus. You need to be born again. And if you're saved, the next thing you need to do is get baptized. It's the next thing you need to do. It's the second step after you're saved. It's the first step of obedience for those who are saved. Romans 6 and verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And it pictures what Christ did for us when he died and was buried and rose again. And it pictures what Christ has done in us, that my old man is dead, crucified with Christ, and yet I live a new life in Jesus Christ. And baptism pictures that. One man said, the baptistry is a liquid tomb. The baptistry is a liquid tomb. It's a tomb. It's where the old man we picture the old man being left behind as we live that new life in Christ. So we want to take the first step. Then we want to take the next step. And number three, we want to keep walking. Keep walking. The tense of the verb in the Greek indicates a continuation. You can't keep walking until you start walking. And once you start walking, we must continue. Now, I need you to hear this because it's vital. You are not saved because you keep on walking. You keep on walking because you are saved. If staying saved depended on us walking in Christ, walking in the Spirit, no one would ever stay saved. I mean, what if it was just something small? In order to walk in the Spirit, what if it was just this? You can't get angry without a cause this week. How many of us would make it a week? I wouldn't. What if it was we had to have all pure thoughts? We could never have a bad thought. How many of us would make it a week, much less a week? How about a day? How about through the rest of the message? No, listen, friends, it's you're not saved because you keep walking. You keep walking because you are saved. Colossians, back in chapter 1, Colossians 1, verse 21. Colossians 1, verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Listen, friends, Jesus is coming again, and if he's not coming, then one day he's going to take you home, and either way, one day you and I, we will all give an account before God, and we want to kneel before him. We want to kneel before him, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight, and we cannot do that. We will not do that. We will not be found faithful unless we keep walking in him. Amen. Keep walking. Keep moving forward. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, our text today said, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." How do we do this thing of walking in Jesus? Well, you do it the same way you received Christ Jesus. Well, how did you do that? Well, when Jesus came preaching in Mark 1:15, he said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." When the Apostle Paul met with the pastors or the elders from Ephesus and he talked to them about their ministry there in Ephesus, he said, "Hey, we didn't hold anything back from you, but we were always there day and night. We were preaching to you repentance toward God and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ." If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you did it by repentance and faith. True? That's what it requires, repentance and faith. And if you received him by repentance and faith, that's how he says, "I want you to walk in him. I want you to continue walking in repentance and faith." What's that mean? Friends, I want to tell you this. If you're honest today, if you've been saved for more than 5 minutes, you've done more repenting after you were saved than you did when you were saved. See, some people have some crazy idea that you repent when you get saved and that's all the repenting you'll ever need to do. But when we walk in the light as he is in the light, when we bring ourselves into the light of the Word of God, it's going to reveal our need to repent. And we're going to have to repent daily. We're going to have to repent moment by moment. And so we put ourselves in the light and we need to repent. If you say that you have no need to repent, you are not walking in the light. You're living in the twilight zone. Have you ever cleaned your house? Anybody ever done that? Okay, a couple of you have. Good. Have you ever thought something was clean until you opened a window or opened the blinds? Anybody? And once the light hits it, you go, "Where did that dust come from?" Because when the light's not shining on it, it looks pretty good. It's one of the reasons when I get up in the morning, I like to keep the lights off because it's just, things look better. Right? Maybe that's just me. You open the blinds, you can even see the dust in the air. The light shines through, you can see every tiny speck. It makes it shine like a star. The dust just lights up in the light. And that's what the Word of God does in our life. When the light of God shines in your life, those specks of dust, that dirtiness shows up, and you know you need to repent. How do we keep walking? We keep walking by repentance and faith. I turn away from my sin, and I trust in him. I turn away from my sin, and I trust in him. And step by step, day by day, moment by moment, I'm repenting and I'm trusting. I'm repenting and I'm trusting. If you ever stop repenting, you're not walking in Christ. Amen. If you ever stop trusting, you're not walking in Christ. Amen. He says to walk in the Spirit. I want you to just imagine this with me for a second. We've got to take the first step. We must be saved. We got to take the next step. We need to be baptized. We got to keep on walking. And then last, I want to say we need to stay in bounds. Walk in the Spirit. The Spirit, walking in him, walking in Christ, it's walking in him. That the idea here is that God has set some boundaries up for us, and we need to stay inside of those boundaries. If I'm walking in Christ, I'm staying inside of the boundaries that he set for me. You can imagine, we said that this room was the boundary. Just imagine it like like a basketball court or a football field or something like that. You have to stay in bounds, right? Anybody ever play any sports? I played a sport, it was called track. You know, you don't play track, do you? But even in track, do you know we had boundaries? You had to stay in your lane. You can't run off of the track. You have to stay on the track. And if you're lazy like me, you get as close to the inside lane as you possibly can. Save a lot of steps that way. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. But what happens when you get out of bounds? You're breaking the rules. You're not staying in bounds. Well, walking in Christ, walking in the Spirit means you're staying in bounds. He set the bounds. You've got to stay in bounds. So we keep walking, but we do that in the Spirit. We do that in Him. What does that mean? Well, God has given us His love, and we need to stay in His love. He's given us His commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And when we get out of His commandments, then we're getting out of bounds. You know, whatever God's given you in this life, He talks about the riches that He's given us. We read about everything He gives you is a blessing in life to be received with thanksgiving and to be enjoyed. There are so many things God has given us. But anything that we have to go outside of Jesus to get is something that we don't need. If I have to go outside of His commandments to get something or to do something, then I'm out of bounds. I'm out of bounds. If you have to break His commandments to get something or to experience something, it's out of bounds. It's not in the Spirit. So how do we know when we get out of bounds? You know, when you're playing basketball, referees are always there with the whistle in hand, ready. If somebody steps out of bounds, they blow the whistle, right? Football nowadays today, they don't blow whistles anymore. They have electronic whistles because, you know, you can't blow and spread. Okay. What happens? The whistle sounds when you go out of bounds. What do we have? Look at Colossians 3, verse 15. This is good. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I want you to focus on that phrase, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. This word rule means to arbitrate. It's only used right here. It's from a Greek word that's only used a couple of times, and it means an umpire, a referee. He says, I want the peace of God to be the umpire of your heart. How many of you have, let's just confess one to another. How many of you have had a wrong thought this past week? Anybody? I'm raising my hand. Anybody got angry when they shouldn't have? All right. All right. Anybody robbed a bank? Okay. I'm just trying to help. Figure the feds need all the help they can get. All right. We've done things that we shouldn't do. Now, how many of you that have done something wrong this week, you got out of bounds, how many of you had that whistle go off, the peace of God left your heart? You thought something you shouldn't think, and the peace was gone. You said something you shouldn't say, and the peace was gone. The peace of God rules in your heart. It's the umpire. It's the referee. You know you're out of bounds when that peace isn't there. We need His peace in our hearts. And when that peace is gone, we need to do what it takes to get it right. Let me share one more passage of Scripture as we wrap it up today. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Now, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate or has self-control in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul uses the Olympian athlete, the Olympic athlete, as an example for us. And even today, Olympic athletes, they keep their bodies under subjection. They are temperate. They have self-control in all things. The Olympic athlete, he doesn't eat wrong stuff. He's not lazy. He doesn't miss a workout. He does everything he can to train to win that gold medal. But guess what? That gold medal is going to burn up. But what you do for Christ will last for eternity. What's the prize that we're after? What's our goal? Our goal is Christ-likeness. Amen. That's what we're striving for, to be like him, to bring him glory. So we've got to take the first step. If you've never been born again, I plead with you to trust in Jesus today. If you're saved but you've never been baptized, you need to take that step today. You need to keep moving forward. Don't stand still, but keep moving forward in repentance and faith and stay in bounds. Stay in bounds. So what do we do? What do we do when we go out of bounds? How do we get right? We have an advocate with the Father. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So when we sin, when we get out of bounds, we can confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. This morning, I want to ask you to stand with me. We're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. We have this invitation time as an opportunity for you to respond. See, I believe this today. I believe every one of us needs to take a step. For you, maybe you've never been born again. You need to take that step today. Today, you need to call on the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, and you need to be saved. Some of you have been saved, but you've not been scripturally baptized, and you know you need to take that step. Some of you need to take that step to be baptized. Some of us need to take the step to get back in bounds. We've stepped out of bounds. The peace of God is not in our heart today, and we need to come back to him. And I promise you, if you come to him, he will forgive you, he will cleanse you, and he will put his peace right back into your heart. Amen. Everybody here needs to take a step today. To keep moving forward, to keep walking in repentance and faith. If he's convicting your heart this morning, I plead with you to respond. Respond in faith and obedience today as we sing.